Thank you, Scott. Appreciate that introduction, and good to see you all this morning. The work that I'm going to be talking about today is some of the work that Elizabeth Brewer has been doing in my laboratory, and she was unable to attend the meeting, so you're stuck with me presenting her data, but hopefully I'll be able to do justice to it. And it's also been done in collaboration with some other individuals at Oregon State University who have contributed to various parts, some of which I won't be able to talk about today because it's still in progress. This research continues studies that we have been doing for several years now, taking advantage of an experiment that was established at the H.J. Andrews Experimental Forest more than a decade ago. It's called the dirt plots for detritus inputs and removal treatments, where organic matter inputs are either excluded or increased in this old growth forest. So if you take a look at the photo on the left, that's what the control plots look like. There were some which were trenched to exclude roots. There are others which are screened to exclude above ground litter. And as I mentioned, there are other plots that actually receive additions, for example, of above ground litter. And today, the research that I'm going to be talking about is going to contrast soils taken from the control plots versus those that have not had inputs since 1997. So with these two soils, the control and no inputs, you can see that some of the general characteristics of the soils over that period of time have changed. There's been a decline of, you know, roughly in the area of 20-25% in terms of total nitrogen, total carbon, also resulting in somewhat of a narrowing of the carbon to nitrogen ratio of those soils. And also, as a result of excluding above ground inputs and the roots, there's been a shift in the community composition. So what's shown here is just a decline in the relative proportion of fungi to bacteria, but we have other data that show that the community composition of the fungal and the bacterial communities has changed as well. There have also been a number of observations on these sites related more towards the nitrogen dynamics. So, for example, there's lysimeters installed, and in the exclusion plots, particularly those without roots, there's been an increase in the amount of nitrate leaching that's been observed. When we've done laboratory studies, however, we often have found relatively little differences in the gross rates of ammonium or nitrate production and consumption, and also we didn't observe any differences, at least between the control and the no input plots, in the potential for nitrification. So there's kind of a mixed message in terms of what we've seen with respect to the nitrogen dynamics, and although that isn't a primary or wasn't a primary focus of this study, I will come back and touch on that a little bit at the end and with some of the data and the conclusions. So the questions that we had are listed here. Basically, we're interested in whether the long-term exclusion of organic matter inputs has altered the functionality of the soil microbial community to process nitrogen, and in particular, in this case, to process litter nitrogen. So remember, these plots haven't seen litter for more than 10 years. Also, we were interested in the amount of or the relative importance of this new litter addition to the production of nitrate in these systems. And finally, we will be, as you'll see in the next slide, we're using two different types of litter. So a little bit of a question embedded in this also is whether the quality of the litter influences this nitrogen cycling. In particular, how does it interact with the exclusion plots versus the controls? So this was a laboratory study, basically a longer-term incubation, and we used two different substrates, Douglas fir needles and red alder leaves. Now, Douglas fir is the dominant conifer on these sites. These sites are old-growth sites. The trees are several hundred years old, so although they probably in their history have seen alder at some time because it's an early successional species that comes in following disturbance, these particular plots probably had not seen alder litter for a couple of centuries at least. We produced these litter types in the greenhouse where we labeled them with nitrogen 15, which is what allows us to get at the amount of nitrogen from the litter that was mineralized or nitrified during the course of the incubations. And you'll see that the quality of the litter, if you will, at least looking at something general characteristic like carbon to nitrogen ratio, is quite different. Red alder is a nitrogen fixing species, generally accumulates much more nitrogen in its litter. We added the same amounts of litter based on a per carbon basis of these two litter types, and we added it at a rate roughly equivalent to the amount of litter fall experienced on these plots. So the incubations were set up. We had the control and the no input soils. We had soils that were unamended with litter, amended with the Douglas fir, amended with the red alder. And we harvested these at four times during a roughly 5 month incubation period. And I should mention at about 46 days and 141 days, these were set up so that we could leach them. So we leached these microcosms at those time points as well. One other thing which I should mention is that with respect to the litter that we added, before we added the Douglas fir and the red alder litter, it was fragmented into pieces a millimeter or two in size, and we also pre-leached that litter a number of different times until the amount of soluble organic carbon coming out was minimal, because we wanted to get not have that initial influence of the readily available labile carbon that would have been present in that litter as part of the design. Okay. So this is just cumulative respiration, and most of the figures that I'll be showing you have a very similar format. The black symbols, the solid symbols are going to be for the control, the open symbols are going to be for the no input soil. The black is going to represent the soil that did not receive any litter, the red receives red alder litter, and what's green on my screen, and it's probably a little bit hard for you to make out, but it's also supposed to be green up there, is the Douglas fir. And there are also triangles in these line plots because they look like fir trees. At any rate, to start off with, if we just take a look at the control between, or I should say the unamended control, and we look at the cumulative amount of CO2 evolved compared to the no input, we see that there's a large difference in the amount of carbon that's respired, consistent with the decrease in total carbon that we've seen in the system. In all instances, when we added the litter, we got some additional respiration, which you might expect, but it was much more pronounced both with the alder litter and the Douglas fir litter in the case of the control soil. In the case of the no input soil, actually there's probably no significant difference here between the amount of CO2 released when they received Douglas fir litter. So you're beginning to see this interaction between litter quality, soil type, if you will, and how the system is responding here. Looking at net mineralization, so the accumulation of ammonium and nitrate in the system, that's what's shown by these bar graphs. And again, the color scheme and sort of is pretty much the same on these as what you've seen in the previous graph. And I'm showing you net mineralization because most of this was as nitrate. The ammonium concentrations through the course of the incubation varied only slightly between one or two parts per million, for example. So there's very little difference in the ammonium throughout the course of the incubation. And so again, looking first at the control during this first period, at the unamended samples, there was some immobilization in the control soil, but there was a large net release of nitrogen, a higher net mineralization rate in the no input soil. In all cases early on at the incubation, when we added leaf litter, whether it was red alder or Douglas fir, there was a small amount of immobilization. By the intermediate period between 10 and 56 days, there was net mineralization in all instances, but generally speaking, the litter amended treatments had a slightly lower rate of net mineralization than the unamended soils did. But by the time we get to the end of the incubation from 56 days on, generally speaking, in the control soil, there were higher rates of mineralization, suggesting some release from these materials that had received the leaf litter input, and from a statistical perspective, no difference between amended and unamended soils in the no input plots. So we see some differences in behavior here between the historic treatments, whether they had been had litter excluded for a long period of time or not. See relatively little difference between the two litter types with respect to nitrogen mineralized. Another way to take a look at this is just to look at the net or cumulative production of nitrate in these systems. And it illustrates the point pretty nicely that if we take a look at it in the no input soils, we tended to see nitrate production almost from the very beginning, whereas there was a lag before nitrate production began in the control soils. In the case of the control soil, there was relatively little difference in the amount of nitrate produced, regardless of whether it was amended with litter or not. However, we see that the litter seemed to depress the amount of nitrate being produced in the no-input plot. If we take a look at the contribution of the nitrogen from the litter to that nitrate that we measured, we see that focus here on the final time points, that much more of the nitrogen present in the red alder ended up being nitrified compared to the Douglas fir, but the overall amount of litter nitrogen contributing to that nitrate pool is relatively small, say roughly about 5%. So most of the nitrogen being released from these soils is coming from the organic matter that was present in the soils initially. And this difference that you see between the red alder and the Douglas fir is roughly proportional to the nitrogen contents of those two litters. So there's about four times more nitrogen contributing to the nitrate pool in the case of red alder, but red alder had about four times more nitrogen compared to the Douglas fir. So taking into this information to account, I'd like to just first summarize the results that I've shown you and then present you with some conclusions. So first of all, there certainly does seem to be an indication that by excluding both above and below ground litter for more than a decade, it had an influence on how the microbial communities were functioning. There was this depression in the cumulative respiration. There are also some differences in terms of how the system responded with respect to nitrogen cycling. So for example, adding the litter caused much more immobilization in the no-input soils than it did with the control soils. Initially, the nitrogen mineralization, the nitrification rates differed when litter was inputs were added, but those became less and less through the course of the incubation. And the contribution of litter to the nitrate pool was greater for the red alder addition compared to the Douglas fir. And something which I didn't point out and should have in the diagram is that the contribution also tended to be greater in the control soils relative to the no-input soils, suggesting that in the control soils there was the ability of the microbial community to mineralize that nitrogen to a greater extent. So based on these data, more than a decade of the organic matter input exclusion has affected how these soils cycle carbon and nitrogen. Generally speaking, the new litter inputs made a relatively modest contribution to nitrogen mineralization and nitrification. And finally, the long-term incubations, and this gets back to that point I said I'd come back to, the long-term laboratory incubations showed more similar nitrogen dynamics to what people have observed in the field. In other words, in the field, they saw this nitrate leaching out of the no-input plots. We see a buildup of nitrate in these systems as we incubate through time, in contrast to what we found with short-term isotope dilution experiments. And so I think, although I enjoy doing isotope dilution experiments and we can learn quite a bit from them, I do have some concern what they show us in the short term compared to what they show us out in the field. So with that, I'd like to thank the various agencies and organizations which sponsored and helped to support this interest, and I believe there's time for a few questions.
If you had included the double litter in these experiments.
Can I summarize the question? Susan, right? Yeah, okay. So Susan mentioned basically that there has been priming noted, which has turned the double litter plots to look something more like the no litter plots in terms of carbon availability in those soils. And we didn't look at the double littered plots. But one of the things which I think is kind of interesting, and I didn't emphasize as much as I should have, is that we saw that in those no-input plots, which hadn't received litter for quite a bit of time, that they behaved differently, and they didn't seem to do as good at degrading the Douglas fir litter. And I'm thinking that that's not going to be the same behavior we'd see at the double litter plot, because you still would have had those sorts of inputs. And so although maybe to some degree the carbon remaining is a little bit different, I have a feeling that the microbial communities, and we know that the double litter communities are more similar to the control, may still be functioning more like the control in the double litter plots than they are in the no input. And that was a long answer too, so sorry about that.